Yes. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you again for your faithfulness. And Lord, how you continually look after us, how you did this amazing thing by putting your very life into us so we can experience victory and peace and hope and experience this inexpressible and glorious joy. So God, you have your way this morning. Come, allow our hearts to be able to receive, Lord. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that's ready to receive whatever you have, Lord, for us this morning. You come and speak, Lord, because without you, nothing significant happens. We need you. We're the only one that have the words of life. So, Lord, you have the microphone. I'll be the speaker. You just come speak right through me to your people today. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Well, we're continuing on our series, The Building Blocks to Healthy Relationships. And what are those things that allow our relationships to be healthy? Whether it's being married to a spouse, that relationship, whether it's an engagement, whether you're dating, whether it's a friend, whether it's relationship with a parent, what are the building blocks that allow us to have healthy relationships? And again, we're talking about this because as I've been meeting with people, we realize that the most difficult thing we do here on planet Earth is relationship. Right? Because we're always dealing with people or even dealing with myself. Right? So remember, somebody asked Jesus again, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? Well, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That is the first and greatest, to love God. Right? And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Right? So life comes down to relationship, right relationship with God, right relationship with each other, and right relationship with myself. And quite often we forget that third one, right? Now, as I've been privileged and blessed to travel the world and meet with people just here in my hometown, you recognize that there's a lot of people who don't like themselves. Anybody ever woke up one day and just thought, man, I'm so tired of me, right? I have. Man, I'm tired of myself. And so many people that I meet with, they just don't like themselves. So how do I have a healthy relationship when I look at myself? Because we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. So life really comes down to relationship, but those three things, God, each other, and with myself. And so we've been looking at the first building block to healthy relationship, which is the most important block, right? So if we're to draw that here, which is the foundation block, right? And this block is so important because it bears the weight of everything, right? Remember we read in Isaiah where it says, Jesus is the cornerstone, and the one who relies on him will never be stricken with panic, in Isaiah 28, right? And so the original NIV, as I told you, it had the word capstone, but it was a bad translation, right? The actual translation is cornerstone. A capstone doesn't bear any weight, does it? It just tops off the really beautiful retaining wall. But the cornerstone is the one at the very bottom in the corner bearing the whole weight, right? So our foundation is very important because he is our foundation. And the one who relies on him will never be stricken with panic. And so what is our foundation? When we think about relationship, right, as I meet with two people who are coming for pre-marriage counseling and they're madly in love with each other, and I ask them, why are you getting married? And they say, because we love each other, right? And if we're going to talk about love, well, what is love? It's not about what is love, but who is love and how do we define love? Well, what does the Bible say about love? 1 John 4:8 says God is love. So we can put his name there, right? They're right. The answer is correct. I'm going to find my marriage. We're getting married because we love each other. Right? Because we love each other. And that is the right reason. Right? But it's not, we have to have that definition right. How are we defining love? Because everybody else who got married said the same thing. Right? And now that divorce rate, which I won't give the number because I don't want to depress, but it's ever so high. And all those couples said they love each other too, but now they're getting divorced. So what's going to make your marriage different? What's going to make your love different? Well, it comes down to what you're going to found your life upon. And we want to find it upon God. That is the foundation for everything, because God is love. And so we looked at a few things on this foundational block. And the first thing that we looked at is we must learn first to be before we do. Now, do you remember what that meant? We must learn what it means to be in Christ before we do things for Christ. We are called human beings, right? Not human doings. The doing things for Jesus flows out of the being in him. So the foundation is we have to learn what it means to be in Christ. And so if you, as a parent, if you've taught your kids all the rules and everything you have to do before they had relationship with Christ, right, all of a sudden the Christian life gets heavy, right? We have to learn relationship first. So if you have no relationship with your kids and all they know from you is you're the rule maker and you're the judge, how happy are they going to be with you in that relationship? No. Your kids listen to you because you have relationship with them, because they know that you love them, hopefully, right? Because you develop relationship with them first. So relationship has to come before rules. Relationship before rules. We have to know Jesus and who he is. So we must learn, right, to be in Christ. Therefore, since I am now in Christ, I'm a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come, 2 Corinthians 5:17. So do you know what it means to be a new creation? Right? That's what we need to learn. That's what we need to discover. That's one of the beautiful things that Christ gave us when he died on the cross and rose again, that he put his very life now into us. And do we know how to operate now because of what he did? Amen? Right? We need to know, but we first have to understand relationship. So the second thing we talked about was our weakness for his strength. Right? Our weakness for his strength. Right? Remember, Paul pleaded with the Lord, right? God, take this problem away. Take this thorn out of my flesh. Please, God, just take it away. And God said to him, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. For every place you admit you're weak, then I will be your strength. Amen? Right? So we have to operate out of our weakness. Like I told you, I hear from Christians so often, I just want to be a stronger Christian. I just want to be a stronger Christian. Well, what does that mean? Because he says, in your weakness, you get his strength. So what does it mean to be a stronger Christian? And usually it's all the do-dos, right? Right? I got to read my Bible. I got to pray. I got to go share my faith. I got to go to church faithfully every Sunday. I got to give my 10%. Well, oh joy, sign me up. This Christianity sounds like fun. Right? And now, are those things inherently bad? No. But they become bad if you start living to that list and no longer to him. Because Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. First come to me. Right? Just come and sit with me. Just be still and know that I'm God. Right? So we all have our weaknesses, right? And if we can't own our weaknesses, then God cannot be to you. You cannot leave where you're at until you admit where you're at. So if I told you right now, hey, it's really wonderful to be at Friendship Baptist Church in Coquitlam, B.C. I'm really glad to be here this morning. You guys would look at me and say, no, you're at Provost Community Church in Provost, Alberta. And if I don't admit where I'm at, how can I leave where I'm at? Because in my head, I'm in B.C., we can only leave where we're at when we admit where we're at. So we have to own our weaknesses, right? And what you get in return is his strength, right? I'm going to own up to my foolishness so I get his wisdom. I'm going to own up to my weakness so I get his strength. And the third thing that we looked at was time. We have to spend time. Amen? Remember we looked at this world? This world will drown and suck everything out of you. Right? We want to be in the world, just not of the world. And he says, if you love the world, you cannot love me. right? So Jesus got away constantly. He went off to a solitary place, went off to a secret place, went off to a quiet place, went off to a lonely place. He was getting away constantly. And if Jesus got away, how much more do we? Right? Not as an obligation, but if you have relationship, you desire that. Right? You desire it. You want to go and spend time with him. And Jesus, he would get up early in the morning and he would pray all night. He would spend time with his Father all night. And he was constantly getting away, recharging with his Father. Right? Getting a break from people, because people can exhaust us, right? Some people can give you a bleeding ear, right? Other people just drain you, right? And if you have a certain temperament, you really need time out and time alone from people, right? And Jesus had to get away, right? He was in a physical body, amen? Right? So we need that time to get away and spend time with him. It's a necessity. And then the thing we looked at last week was faith and trust. We must come to trust him wholly and completely, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Can you trust God even in the midst of your deepest defeat in your life? And again, to me, and I think I said this last Sunday, but the greatness of one's faith is not determined by how much one can receive in their life because of their great faith. The greatness of one's faith to me is their ability to accept God's forgiveness in the midst of their deepest defeat. Right? In the midst of the darkest place that they've been in, something they've done, can you accept his forgiveness? Because we talked about earlier, back in the fall, I can only forgive to the degree that he's forgiven me. I will only extend forgiveness to the degree that I've received it from him. Amen. Right? So we want to come to that place where we fully and wholly trust and rely on him, that he has a plan, that he sees what I cannot see yet, right? He sees what I cannot see yet. And so what does it look like to spend that time? What does it look like to put my faith and trust in God, right? It means I'm fully surrendered. I surrender to him, that we agree that whatever God permitted to come into my life, he could have prevented. And if he never prevented that thing that came my way, he permitted it for a reason. Does God do anything without purpose? No. Everything has a purpose. Now, does God cause all things? Well, no, but he promised in Romans, I will cause everything for your good, right? God doesn't cause all things, but he will cause all things for good. Man creates a lot of problems for us, don't they? Relationships, right? With other people. And like I joked around, I finally figured out the problem with my family, with my wife and my kids. I finally figured out what the problem is. And one person said, well, what is it? Well, they're too selfish to think of me all the time. Yeah. If you just think of me, there'd be no problem in this home, right? Right? But that's what happens, right? Somebody does something or says something that I don't like, and all of a sudden I get rattled a little bit. Now, why do I get rattled? So that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at the second block, right? And we're looking at now, right? I know this is horrible writing. Right relationship with others. And we're specifically going to look at today, right? Our needs and our makeup. And I'm going to show you why that's important to talk about. Okay, our needs and our makeup. Why is that so important for us to talk about what our needs are and what our makeup is? So, if we are to understand what is happening in our relationships with others, why are things going sideways? What happened, right? What's going wrong? If we're to understand that, we better figure out how we operate first. How am I made? What is it that brings life to me, and what is it that depletes life from me? How did God wire me? What things am I to ingest into my life, and what things are no good in my life? Right? What things did I take into my mind that was a lie, that's absolutely festering and causing havoc in my life? and what things that are truth that are bringing life to me. Do you understand? So we have to look at, how did God make me? Like, how am I made? How am I, what am I to receive in my life? How did he wire me? How do I work? Because if I don't understand how I work, how do I expect to understand how other people work? I first better understand how I operate first. What is happening in my relationships? How do I operate? How has God made me? How has he designed me? Right? What is in my DNA that he made? And if we don't know how we are designed to live and operate in this life here on earth with each other, how can I ever conceive how to treat another person in my life? I don't even understand me, right? So this is what young kids go through. They're trying to discover themselves, right? Right? And they're having a difficult enough time trying to figure out themselves, let alone trying to figure somebody else out. And then they get in a dating relationship, and my goodness, whoo, things go sideways. I got all these emotions and all these feelings, and there's all kinds of things going on, and I don't even understand me yet. I don't even understand me. So we have to look at how God has made me. And so I want to look at that here this morning. We're going to look at our makeup, and it's pretty simple, right? So the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he refers to all three. He says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul talks about there's three parts to us, right? We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. So do we know how that works, right? Have we ever looked at that? Have we ever just defined that? Or do we just get up and we live and here's how it works? Right? Don't you think it's important to look at that? So we know from Genesis, right? Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, his spirit that gives life, and the man became a living being. Amen? He gave us life. So out of the dust of the earth, God formed our bodies, breathed into us his life, his spirit, which gives life, and we became a living soul with a mind that can what? Allows us to think, emotions, which allow us to feel, and a will, which allows us to choose to do. Amen? Right? So it's important for us to understand that. So our bodies, we have a body, right? Some look better than others, and some don't. We won't mention, right? So we have these bodies made up of my skin, my bones, my flesh, my organs. We have this body. We understand that. And then we have this soul, right? And our soul consists of our mind, which is my ability to think, my emotions, my ability to feel, and my will, which is my ability to choose to do, right? Does an animal have a will? Well, no. It can't choose, can it? A cow can't wake up and decide, I'm going to be a pig today. It can't choose that. It has to do what it was made to do. It's called amoral, A-M-O-R-A-L, an amoral being. It must do what it was created to do. We are moral beings, which means with choice. We are made with choice. So we have this soul, which allows me to think, feel, and do. And we have this spirit. He breathed into us his breath of life. Amen? And he gave us life. Life in, what does it say in John 10? I have come that you might have life. Life in all of its fullness, all of its abundance, right? He breathed his breath of life right into us. Now, here's the thing. Why are we talking about that this morning? Because it's important to talk about, okay, I'm made with this body, soul, and spirit, but I have certain needs, don't I? That have to be met. Because God made me with a body that needs things. Right? My soul needs things. My spirit has needs. Now I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. So, in kindergarten, right? Maybe grade one, we are taught about what our physical needs are, right? Right? And we live in a physical world, correct? So I live in a physical world, and I have a physical body. And the physical world meets the needs for my physical body. Amen? So what are my physical needs? Wait, food is one of them. Liquid, water, yeah. Clothing, thank God, especially up here where we live, and shelter, right? We learn that at a very, very young age, that we have physical needs for our physical bodies, and the physical world meets the needs for my physical body, right? I have to have them met, right? The body has to have food, and it has to have liquid. It needs shelter, and it needs clothing. Amen. We can all agree, right? So those are the needs of our body, okay? But also, we have needs of the soul, right? So our mind, what does it need? It needs to think. And we meet the needs of our mind in all kinds of ways, right? We go to school, we get an education, we read books, we get on the internet, we research and we study. We're meeting the needs of our mind constantly, or we sit there and we think and we meditate and we ponder. Amen. Right? We meet our emotional needs in all kinds of ways, right? Somebody will dress up really nice, right? Get all their hair done, put on nice clothes, and somebody looks at them and goes, wow. And also a person, oh, well, thank you. That just emotionally makes me feel so good, right? So we're meeting our emotional needs in all kinds of ways. I'm going to go do something that brings me joy. I love shopping. It meets an emotional need. I like new things. So we're meeting our emotional needs in all kinds of ways. And then I also have a will. What are the needs of my will? I have to be able to choose to do. When you feel that you don't have a choice, how do you feel? Yeah, a little frustrated, right? Because we have a need to be able to choose to do. I got to choose to wear these shoes or these shoes, to wear this shirt or this shirt. I got to choose to turn left or to turn right, right? We're making choices, but when we feel we don't have choice, we get frustrated, do we not? Right? So we have needs in our soul, and we meet the needs by choosing in our will. So the last question I have is, what are our spiritual needs? What are those? Because we seem to understand the other two, but we don't seem to understand that one. So we have to know what the needs of our spirit are. What are the needs of our spirit? So, I could sum them up. I'll just tell them for the sake of time. I'm going to sum them up in four words for you, okay? Love, purpose, security, and significance. Now, we could use other words, like we could use value, you know, worth, to belong. We like to belong. We like affirmation, right? But these words are summed up in these ones, right? Now, how do I know there's my spiritual needs? How do I know? Well, does anybody here like to be unloved? Oh, I love to be unloved, right? Does anybody here love to feel insecure? Oh, I love insecurity. Does anybody here love to have no purpose to their life? Well, no, I've asked this question all around the world, and I've never heard one person yet say they love the opposite of that, right? We have a need to be loved, don't we? We have a need. And look at those in life. We've read about these serial killers, right, who never had a definition to love. They only understood evil all the time, and evil had been done to them right from a baby growing up, and they became a weird person, right? They just got weird. Because we have a need to be loved, right? We want to know that we have a purpose. So here's the thing, and here's why we have to talk about this in relationship, okay? Now, we read in Genesis chapter 2, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. You can eat from anyone, but you must not eat from the tree of knowing good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will certainly die. You will surely die, as other translations say. So don't eat. Remember, there was the tree of life and the tree of knowing good and bad, right? And he said, don't eat from knowing good and bad. Why? Because he who eats from that tree is now responsible for all. For he who knows all what is good and bad is now responsible. And God wanted us to live as children. And children know they have a dad who's responsible, right? And God wanted to take that on, right? But they got tempted, right? Eve first and then Adam, right? And they ate from the fruit of that tree. Now, we don't know whether it was an apple or not, but the fruit off of that tree, they ate of it. And the first thing they recognized was they were naked, right? And they hid. And so God sowed fig leaves for them, right? There was a change. Something happened. So my question is this. If you eat of this, you must not eat from the tree of knowing good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will certainly die. Well, there are three parts to us. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Paul referred to all three in Thessalonians. What part died? Well, Adam and Eve continued to live, and for quite a while, right? So they didn't die right away, right? And they were still able to think, feel, and choose to do, right? Right? So, where the real problem came was right here, right? Because if I have these needs for love, purpose, security, and significance, and something happened in me, right? Because we ate of the fruit, and right? Do things get passed on from generation to generation? Yeah, right? So it said, since sin entered through the one man, Adam, so sin came to all men. That's what it says in Romans. Since sin entered the world through the one man, Adam, so sin came to all men. So it got passed on to us, right? It got passed on to us. So now we have a problem, don't we? Because I have these spiritual needs for love, purpose, security, and significance, but I'm born into this sin condition. Now I got a problem, right? How can I get my spiritual needs met if I'm born in this broken condition? Right, Ephesians says, we are now dead to sin and alive to Him. Ephesians chapter 2, right? Verses 8 to 10, right? We need to choose Christ. We need His life, right? He doesn't choose. Now, we've talked about that, right? Love means, right, that I have to give choice. And God is love, so He has to give you choice. He can't choose for you. So He's waiting for us to choose Him. Amen? Choose life, right? I need Him. I need Him so I can, as theologians and scholars call it, you need a regenerated spirit, right? We're born in this broken condition. And when you invite Him into your life, your spirit becomes anew, afresh, alive, right? I need a spirit in me that is alive, a capital S, not a lowercase s, right? I need the Holy Spirit in my life. I have to have these needs met. So, God made me with this body, soul, and spirit to be given love, purpose, security, and significance. But if I'm born in this broken condition, and so God can no longer meet them, where am I going to go looking to get my needs met? Each other, right? I'm going to look to you beside me. Or I'm going to look to things to try and meet my needs, the things of this world. Now, do the things of this world fulfill you? Do they satisfy you? No, they don't. They do not satisfy and they do not fulfill. Right? Because only God alone can meet those needs. Look at what it says here in Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all your needs according to the glorious riches of Jesus Christ, according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. Amen? So He is the one who has to meet all of your needs, right? He has to, because that's what He said. I meet all of your needs. I have given you everything for life and for godliness. So I got a problem. So since Adam and Eve chose this, they ate of that fruit, this problem came to all men, right? And the only answer is to invite Christ into our life. That is the only answer, because He's the one who meets all of your needs, right? So I need Him. But if I'm not looking to Him, then I have to look everywhere else, because I don't understand, well, how does God meet my needs? Then I'm start to look everywhere else, and I'm going to look to you. And as long as you meet my needs, then I love you. But the minute you stop meeting my needs, I'm going to throw you away. You're no good to me. Right? Anybody experienced that before? As long as you do what I want you to do, I like you. But the minute you don't, you're no good to me. As long as you say to me what I want to hear, I love you. But the minute you don't, I'll throw you away. Why? Because I have to have those needs met. And since I'm not looking to the Lord, I'm going to look to you. I'm going to look to you. And it's like two ticks with no dog, trying to suck life out of something that's not there, that can't give it. Do you know you can milk a mouse? You can get in there, you can actually milk a mouse, but how much do you really get? Right? You're never satisfied. I can never get enough, so I got to go milk again, and I'm not enough, and not enough, and I need to milk again, and I never seem to get enough. Because that's what it's like, trying to get your needs met out of others. So in your relationship with your friends, in your relationship with your family, in your relationship with your boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, husband, wife, that's exactly what it's like. And this is what causes marriage breakdowns. Because I'm trying to look to you to get my needs met. When your spouse was never dealt the cards to meet your spiritual need for love, purpose, security, and significance. And it creates friction in the relationship. Right? How are you able to love your enemy? It is impossible to love your enemy if you're looking to people to meet your needs. You can't. Because an enemy is somebody who is not meeting my needs, what I want from them, right? In the largest sense of that word. If you are looking to other people to get your need for love, purpose, security, and significance, you cannot love your enemy. And Jesus said, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who persecute you. But I promise you will not be able to do that if you're still looking to others to get your needs met. You cannot have a right relationship with other people. You cannot have a healthy relationship with others if you're still looking to men to meet your needs. Capiche? That's very important to understand, because that is what will break down any relationship, whether it's with a friend, whether with a parent, whether with it's a spouse, whether it's with a fiance, whether it's with a teacher, a boss. It doesn't matter. If you're looking to get something out of them, then that relationship will break down fast, because only God alone can meet your needs for love, purpose, security, and significance. Are we understood on that? Right? It's a human problem, isn't it? Because of what Adam and Eve chose, it came to all of us, right? Now, I can't help it. Some of you may not want to look like your parents, but it just got passed on to you, right? Some things just got passed on to us from them, right? For some, that's better news than for others, right? So this happened to us from Adam and Eve. And the only way to heal this brokenness is to invite Christ into your life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall never perish, but will live eternally, right? So he is the only answer. And when you invite him in, there's an explosion inside of you, and his spirit enters into your life because you chose. And now you can have your spiritual needs met. From him who lives within. Okay. So, when you get frustrated with somebody else in your life, it's because you're trying to get a need met out of them. Do you remember when Jesus says, right, I don't live for the praises of men. I don't need them. I live to my Father. I already know who my Father thinks of me, right? Right when Jesus was starting his ministry, Johnny B. baptized him, right? John the Baptist, the crazy man, right? Ate locusts and wild honey and dressed in camel's hair. And John baptized him. Do you remember what happened? When he came up, right, the heavens opened up and the Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove, it says, and they heard a voice saying, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Now, do you know that today? Do you know that? Does that mean something, that you are a son and a daughter of the Most High King, and that he loves you and he is well pleased with you? Why? Because out of all the things in this world he knows you could choose, you chose his son, who gave his life as a ransom for you so that you could live in freedom today and live in forgiveness. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus knew who he was. So to the degree that you're frustrated with your spouse, with your boss, with your worker, your friend, whoever, is to the same degree that you're trying to milk your needs out of another human being. And does it work? It doesn't work. So when you're frustrated, that's a symptom. That's a symptom to you. It's a marker to let you know, why am I getting mad? It's because I'm trying to get something mad out of the other. Now, there is righteous anger, and that's, we'll talk about that another day. I think Jesus is the one who truly, really knows about righteous anger, right? Sometimes we like to blame, but it's a righteous anger. No, it wasn't. No, you were trying to get something out of them, and now you're frustrated. That's why I always say to people, if you're offended, you needed to be. Because usually when we get offended, it's because I'm trying to get something out of that other person. Right? We need to be offended until we can't be offended anymore, because we are so firm and rooted in our relationship with Christ, because we knew, as Jesus knew, who he was. This is my son. That's why he didn't live for the praises of men, because he had enough from his father. His father was more than enough. I love my son, and I am well pleased. Can you imagine living that way? Just living, knowing that you're loved. It is the safest place you can live on planet Earth, is living in his love. Being rooted in that, not looking. No human being can meet your deepest needs. There is no human being that can meet it. Only Spirit. And what it says in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. Right? God is Spirit. And that's why we must look to him. You know what's interesting as I look at this? Where do most people today wrap their identity in? Body, soul, or spirit? Yeah, soul, body, one of those two, right? Because some people tote themselves on being an intellectual, right? I'm the smartest man in the room. Spirit of Einstein has entered the place. I'm here, right? And so they want to be known as the smart person in the room. Right? There's some who will find their identity in being the funny person. I like to make people laugh. It makes me feel good. Right? I'm the funny guy in the room. Some people get into a room and, I'm the best looking here. Right? Where does North America, Europe, I would even say, right, wrap it up in their identity and how they look, their bodies, right? Where do we as believers find our identity? Yes. Right here. That is where the deepest core of who we are. Right? The place where God lives. I and my Father have come and made our home in you. Your bodies are now the temple for my holy dwelling. Right? That is the deepest core of who we are and where we need to find our identity in. Not in how we look. Not in how smart I am, how good I feel, what I do on this earth. My identity is wrapped in what he did and what he will do through me. Amen?
Amen.
That is the good news of the gospel, that he does through me what I never could do. Okay, we understand that? Is that clear? Okay, now let me break down and look at this and how this works in relationship, okay? We'll call this the marriage triangle, okay? Now, let me explain one day. One day, Tracy and I were fairly new married. We lived out in British Columbia at the time, and I was pastoring at a church down in Lower Mainland BC in Coquitlam. Do you know what Coquitlam means? It means stinky fish. I got to pastor in Stinky Fish, BC. That's where the Lord chose to place me. And when we were pastoring down there, we were just kind of young married. And I'm trying to figure out how this all works, right? Because I'm realizing marriage was a little tougher than I thought it was. And I thought that when I would say jump, she would say, how high, dear? Right? And I thought, you know, she would do as I say. But it didn't work like that. Chad needed some humbling and needed to lose a little bit of his kingdom and his righteousness, right? And all of those things. A marriage is a perfect place for that to break down because you can no longer be selfish and be happy in a marriage. Have you discovered that, right? To the degree of your selfishness is to the degree of your misery. To the degree of your selflessness is to the degree of your joy in that relationship. You cannot be selfish and happy. So it was a good thing for me that God allowed me to get married. And so we're trying to figure this out. And one of the things that Tracy would always do that I loved every morning when I woke up is she'd say, love you, hon. Have a great day today. And I just loved that. And she would, it was just something that she did. And then I got up one morning and I'm leaving the house, but she was not saying, love you, honey. Have a great day. And I can't remember what happened that morning, but I must have done something wrong. I probably did, right? And she was not saying it. And I remember God giving me this picture. So this comes from what God was teaching me at the time, and I'll explain it in a second. So remember, God was teaching me that, Chad, look to me to meet your to meet your needs. Don't look to Tracy. Don't look to her. Look to me. I meet your need for love, not her. I meet your need for security, not her. I meet your need for security. Don't look to her. So I remember leaving the house that morning, and the other two pastors that I was working with, they came. We called this vehicle the Bone Crusher because it had no shocks in it, and every bump you hit, oh, you just felt it. And so we get in this vehicle, and I remember saying to the Lord as I'm leaving, I said to the Lord, God, okay, I'm not feeling very loved right now, but you say you meet my need for love. So would you come and be my love today? Lord, I'm not feeling really secure and significant right now, but you say you meet that need. So Lord, come and be my security and my significance. And so I'm praying that on my way out of our condo building, and the other two pastors picked me up, and they could see I was in my head, and they said, what's up? And so I just told them everything that I just told you that's going on. And soon as I finished telling the story, my cell phone rang. Remember how big they used to be? Right, cell phone rang, and I picked it up, and it was Tracy, and she said, hi, this is your real wife. I don't know who you woke up with this morning, but this is your real wife, Tracy. I just wanted to say to you, love you, have a good day. And I couldn't believe it. Now, it doesn't always happen that quick, but God in his grace allowed me to receive it that quick that day. Now, here's the thing. So, let's say this is me, okay? And God's saying, you need to look to me. Right? This cloud represents God, right? You need to look to me to have your needs met. Your need for love, purpose, security, significance, right? You need to look to me. And what he allowed is he allowed the meeting of his needs through Tracy to come to me. Now, here's the deception, though. We think, well, they met my needs. But if God meets our needs, then he has the prerogative of how he's going to meet our needs, right? He gets to decide how he's going to meet it that day. And so that day, very quickly, after I'm going through all this, right, I felt loved through Tracy's words. But it's how God chose to meet it through her. Amen? Right? You understand? If God meets our needs, then he has the prerogative on how he's going to meet it. If you are looking to your husband or to your wife, to your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your fiance, if you're looking to a parent, whoever it is, to meet your need, then that puts pressure, doesn't it? It puts a whole lot of pressure because now you can't have a bad day, can you? You're not allowed to have a bad day because you have to meet their need for love. You have to meet their need for security and significance. And this is what happens in relationships. The pressure builds and builds and there's more and more friction because you have to meet my need for love, purpose, security, and significance. Do you see how this works? And the marriage eventually breaks down because it can't handle the pressure because your spouse was never dealt the cards to meet your deepest needs for love and for purpose. It was God. God wants you to look to him. He wants you to trust him. That way, your spouse is allowed to have a bad day, can't she? Or him. Right? They're allowed to have a bad week. They're allowed to have a bad month. They're allowed to have a bad year. Why? Because I am not looking to you. And because I'm not looking to you, I can truly love you. Because I'm looking to him who meets, as we saw in Philippians, all my needs. Amen? And now you can let him love through you to the other. That's how you love the enemy. So this can be anything right here, right? That this could be your workplace. It doesn't have to be your spouse, right? Your wife. It could be your workplace, your boss, your friend. Put whatever you want there, wherever you're looking in your life to get your needs met. We get frustrated and angry with our boss because we're looking to get needs met from them, right? So I get frustrated and angry. God meets your needs. He permits what he could prevent. And if he permitted it, he allowed it to come your way for a reason. Just look to him who lives within, right? He will meet your needs. But if you're looking to other people, if you're looking to other human beings, you will never feel fulfilled and you'll never feel satisfied. Because it's like milking that mouse. You're never going to get enough. I do this because I want you to have this mental picture. Okay? Right? Milking a mouse. I never get enough. It's okay to laugh. Right? You'll never be satisfied. And that's what it's like getting your needs met out of another human being. It's like milking that mouse. You'll just never be satisfied. You'll never be. Amen. Do you see that? It will absolutely free you up in your relationships with others. It will absolutely free you up in your marriages, in relationship with your parents, with your friends, because now I can truly love you because there's no strings attached. I don't need anything from you because my God meets all of my needs. Amen. And now you can love the enemy. I want us to be known as a church who can take the hate and extend love, who can take the insults and extend kindness and gentleness. Now, if you're looking to people, you will never, ever be able to do that. But if you recognize that God fills you, it says full to overflowing, then you can absolutely love the enemy. Amen. Wouldn't it be nice? I would love to put that slogan out there. Our church, a place where you cannot offend. A place where you cannot offend because we are so rooted in Christ. We are so firm in that relationship with him because we know he meets my needs. So you will find out very quickly if you're not looking to the Lord, you're going to be looking over here. And now God can no longer meet your needs because you're looking here, whether that's your spouse, your boss, your friend, whatever it is, and everything will go to hell in a handbasket. You'll lose your peace. You'll lose your joy. You'll feel unfulfilled. You'll feel dissatisfied. Why? Because that person, people, were never, ever dealt the cards to meet your deepest needs. And what are they? Love, purpose, security, significance, right? So every once in a while, right, you'll be tested because maybe you're used to looking to that person to receive love and all of a sudden they don't. And if you get rattled, it's because you're still looking over here this way instead of looking right here to him. Do you understand? So if you get frustrated, angry, rageful, right, it's because you're trying to get your needs met out of another human being. Capiche? Do we have that understood? This is very important to have healthy relationships with others, right? Love God and love neighbor, right? To love others. You cannot have a healthy relationship with other people in your life if you're looking to them to get your needs met. And this is why marriages break down. This is why there's so much divorce going on today. Right? Because I'm trying to get out of you. You're not going to meet it. You get stubborn. No, get away from me. Right? So then that person starts to look other places and it works for a while, but then it doesn't work because it was never meant to. And the relationship just breaks down further and further and further and further. And we're done. We don't even know each other. Right? That's how it happens. So this is why I want to stress this point. Okay? Amen? We understand? God meets all of our needs, our spiritual needs that have to be met. You can't get away from it, can you? Right? Again, if you look to somebody else, tell me I'm loved. Well, it was nice for that moment, but then the next, can you tell me I'm loved again? Tell me I'm loved again. And the next day, please tell me I'm loved again. Right? Tell me I'm saying, I love it when you told me how great it was. Can you tell me again the next day? Right? It's exhausting, isn't it? Where we know we're loved. That's why Jesus, nobody could move him. Because he knew who he was. And he knew who his Father was. Right? And he could not be moved. He knew. He lived loved by his Father. He knew he was, my Father, my dad loves me. And he's well pleased with me. If you can live that way, man, it'll be hard to move you. It'll be so difficult to move you. Because you're rooted and firm in him. You look to him to meet all of your needs. Amen. Amen. Okay. It is Communion Sunday. We get to partake together.